Hello, and welcome to the Subverse News Podcast. Today we are going to talk about a range of topics, including the FBI seeks a law on domestic terror threats, the FBI also is soliciting data miners to track down social media threats, Facebook is being sued for their unauthorized biometric scan of faces, and Jeremy Corbyn calls no-deal Brexit an abuse of power. Before we get into today's topics, make sure you follow us on Minds at subverse.minds.com, where you can find our articles, exclusive content, and our public newsroom. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium. Links are in the podcast description.
In the current federal criminal code, there is no specific domestic terrorism law. Currently, the law distinguishes between international terrorism, which must have a foreign or transnational nexus, and domestic terrorism, which occurs primarily on American soil. The Justice Department relies on other laws such as hate crimes and weapons offenses in cases of politically motivated shootings. The absence of a domestic terrorism law is prompting survivors, victims of families, law enforcement officials, and legal experts to ask lawmakers to create a domestic terrorism law that would aid investigators. Acts of terrorism transcending national boundaries is a federal crime, giving the FBI and federal prosecutors jurisdiction to take the lead. Mary McCord, a former senior Justice Department national security official who has long called for enacting a domestic terrorism law, told the New York Times that the government needed to maintain trust with Muslim American communities so people would sound warnings if they heard something potentially dangerous. She believes calling Islamist attacks terrorism in court but not doing the same for white supremacist attacks is a racist double standard that undermines such trust. Violent anti-government extremists like Timothy McVeigh, who was executed for the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, historically have been labeled domestic terrorists. Crimes targeting African Americans, Jewish people, and other minorities have more regularly been treated as hate crimes rather than terrorist attacks, and investigated by FBI criminal agents instead of counterterrorism agents. This past Tuesday, August 6th, the FBI Agents Association, which represents thousands of active duty and retired agents, called for Congress to make domestic terrorism a federal crime to ensure investigators and prosecutors have the best tools to fight it. The punishment for mass killings range from life imprisonment to execution, regardless of the label applied to the crime. If a shooter dies, which was the case in both California and Ohio, experts said a federal law would help authorities gather evidence and serve as a deterrent. The legal framework is different in international terrorism cases, where a wide-reaching statute makes it illegal to support any groups designated foreign terrorist organizations, such as Islamic State or Al-Qaeda, and often produces arrests long before violence occurs. As a result, it's a crime for an American to fly to Syria to join the Islamic State, but it's not illegal for an American to travel in the U.S. to meet with Ku Klux Klan leaders or other white supremacist groups. The way domestic terrorism is currently defined is broad enough to encompass the activities of several prominent activist campaigns and organizations. Greenpeace, Operation Rescue, Vieques Island, WTO protesters, and the Environmental Liberation Front have all recently engaged in activities that could subject them to investigation as engaging in domestic terrorism. In the 2001 Vieques Island protests, demonstrators illegally entered a military installation where the United States government was engaging in regular bombing exercises, attempting to engage in civil disobedience. This conduct would fall within the definition of domestic terrorism because the protesters broke federal law by unlawfully entering the airbase, and their acts were for the purpose of influencing a government policy by intimidation or coercion. The act of trying to disrupt bombing exercises arguably created a danger to human life, their own, and those of the military personnel. Senate Bill S.894, the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act of 2019, deals with designating white supremacists as domestic terrorists. The bill is sponsored by Senator Richard Durbin and was introduced in March. So far, the latest action on the bill was that it was referred to the Committee of the Judiciary. The FBI has put out a solicitation for a firm fixed price contract for the purpose of acquiring subscription services to a social media early alerting tool in order to mitigate multifaceted threats while assuring all privacy and civil liberties compliance requirements are met. According to the Wall Street Journal, the solicitation is in direct conflict with Facebook privacy policy and may obstruct its ability to pay the $5 billion settlement with the U.S. government last month. The request was posted last month, weeks before a series of mass murders shook the country and led President Trump to call for social media platforms to do more to detect potential shooters before they act. The FBI's attempt to gain far-reaching visibility into the social media activities of both Americans and foreigners risks clashing with other parts of the federal government that are trying to clamp down on Silicon Valley for data breaches, privacy violations, and other cases in which user information was shared without consent. The solicitation calls for companies or individuals that can give law enforcement agents advance warning of violent incidents, as well as the ability to summon a given social media user's ID numbers, IP addresses, and telephone numbers if necessary. The FBI declined to comment about the potential program as a matter of standard practice to not comment on pending procurements. It states in the solicitation that it believes the data can be collected while ensuring all privacy and civil liberties compliance requirements are met. This is not the first time the FBI has sought access to a wide array of social media data. In 2016, the agency announced it had hired the social media analysis company Dataminer to allow law enforcement to search the complete Twitter firehose in near real time using customizable filters. Dataminer, which looks at open source information only, is also contracted by media outlets, including CNN. Civil liberties advocates warn that the contract could easily be abused. Matt Cagle, an attorney for the American Civil Liberties Union of Northern California, told CNN, "This proposal invites dragnet surveillance that history shows will disproportionately harm immigrants, communities of color, and activists, and it invites profit-seeking firms to violate Facebook and Twitter rules designed to keep users safe. Treating social media users like suspects won't make us more safe, but it will make us less free." Addressing the nation Monday on the tragedies in Texas and Ohio, President Donald Trump spoke about stopping mass shooting incidents, hate crimes, and domestic terrorism before they happen, specifically targeting the dark recesses of the internet. Trump then announced that the Justice Department would be working with social media companies and all levels of law enforcement to develop tools that can detect mass shooters before they strike. It is not clear what types of new tools the president has in mind. There is virtually no doubt that federal law enforcement already monitors social media with a variety of tools. Law enforcement and U.S. intelligence agencies have long been working with social media companies to stop online radicalization, disrupt propaganda, and address other threats. Law enforcement also actively disrupts illicit activity on the dark web.
On August 8th, a federal appeals court rejected Facebook's call to undo a lawsuit that indicated the social media giant has been collecting and storing unauthorized biometric facial data of millions of users without their express consent. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco came to a 3-0 decision over whether they considered Facebook's recognition tools to be unauthorized, leaving the company open to billions of dollars worth of damages to users who started the class action lawsuit. The lawsuit started when a group of Illinois users accused Facebook in 2015. The users stated that Facebook was in violation of Illinois State Biometric Information Privacy Act, which prohibits companies to store biometric data without consent. Facebook's tag suggestion feature allows users to recognize and tag their friends based on biometric data of previously uploaded photos. The tagging allows for Facebook to analyze facial geometric data points, such as the distance between nose, ears, and eyes, which is then used to identify an individual's face. The technology then takes those data points and compares it against its user face database to determine whether or not there is a match. Initially, when Facebook released the tag functionality, it collected user biometric identifiers without a written release, and it did not indicate any sort of guidelines towards disposing of the data or any retention schedule of how long the company would keep the data. The panel of circuit judges found that the privacy injuries over time amounted to sufficient enough evidence to allow for the class action lawsuit to proceed. Judge Sandra Okuda noted that the collection of this data could potentially be used to breach privacy, stating, "Taking into account the future development of such technology, it seems that a face-mapped individual could be identified from a surveillance photo taken on the streets or an office building, or a biometric face template could be used to unlock the face recognition lock on the individual's cell phone. Illinois' Biometric Information Privacy Act has a payout of $1,000 for negligent violations of the law, and $5,000 per intentional or reckless violation. Those involved with the lawsuit feel as though their privacy is breached when the technology company collects biometric measurements of the user's face." Sean Williams, a lawyer for the plaintiffs in the class action lawsuit, stated, "This biometric data is so sensitive that if it is compromised, there is simply no recourse. It's not like a social security card or credit card number where you can change the number. You can't change your face." A Facebook spokesperson told Reuters through an email that the company plans on appealing the outcome, stating, "We have always disclosed our use of face recognition technology that people can turn on or off at any time." Facebook argues that the case should be thrown out and that the information is being collected and stored in servers outside of Illinois, meaning that the state law should not apply. Facebook has been at the forefront of a considerable amount of controversy, with projects such as their Libra cryptocurrency, as well as their general privacy practices. The social media company was ordered to pay $5 billion to settle a Federal Trade Commission privacy probe just last month. In the United Kingdom, the prospect of a no-deal Brexit is looming, and Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn has called upon Prime Minister Boris Johnson to help prevent the country from facing the repercussions of leaving the EU with no deal. On Thursday, August 8th, Corbyn wrote a message to Cabinet Secretary Mark Sedwill, calling the Prime Minister's move to have a general election a single day after Brexit as unprecedented, stating, "Forcing through no deal against the decision of Parliament and denying the choice to voters in a general election already underway would be an unprecedented, unconstitutional, and anti-democratic abuse of power by a Prime Minister not elected by the public, but by a small number of unrepresentative Conservative Party members." The United Kingdom is currently set to leave the EU on October 31st this year. Corbyn's letter asked for clarification surrounding the rules of PERTA. "I am therefore writing to seek your urgent clarification on the proper application of PERTA rules in such a scenario and the constitutional implications of failing to abide by those rules." PERTA refers to rules that disallows a government from making policy decisions during an election campaign. The letter asked for Sedwill to extend Article 50 and allow an incoming administration to make a decision about Brexit based upon the results. Article 50 refers to a clause in the EU's Lisbon Treaty that outlines steps to exit the bloc voluntarily, and serves as a means for countries to declare their intention of leaving officially. There has been speculation that members of Parliament could potentially entertain a vote of no confidence on the current Prime Minister before October 31st, in an attempt to stop a no-deal Brexit from taking place. If the vote is successful, it would trigger a general election. Many MPs see a no-confidence vote to be the last line of defense available to those who do not want to see a no-deal Brexit passing with the European Union. If the vote were to pass, it would force the Prime Minister to resign and give a 14-day period to an alternative government comprised of a small number of Conservatives and opposition MPs. Dominic Cummings, a senior aide in Downing Street, warns that Johnson would simply refuse to resign in the following 14 days, allowing the UK to leave the EU with no deal before calling the general election. When asked whether or not he would resign if a vote of no confidence passed, Prime Minister Johnson stressed the need for leaving the EU, stating, "I think that what MPs should do, and what I think they've already voted to do when triggering Article 50, is honor the mandate of the people and leave the EU on October 31st. Thanks for listening. If you want to find more content, head over to subverse.minds.com to find articles, videos, and join our public newsroom, where you can discuss topics and ideas as well as share articles. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium, where we regularly post our content and receive feedback from our valued listeners like you. Our videos and articles can now be found on... If you'd like to support our work, you can donate to our Subscribestar, PayPal, or Patreon. You can also get Subverse gear at our Teespring shop. All the links are in the description. Stay tuned for more content every weekday, and we'll see you next time.